Gary, if you could please take the next few minutes here.
Yeah, for sure. You know what? I'm really excited about our next guest. He's the CEO and president of Platform, Don Stewart. And the reason why I'm excited, a couple of years ago, I was at an agriculture investment symposium in Toronto, and one of the presenters was actually Don with his company. And what caught my attention a little bit about it was that he is growing drugs to benefit for treating cancer using tobacco. And as you may or may not know, Mike, my background actually is I grew up on a tobacco farm, and it got my attention. And then a couple of weeks ago, I'm reading the Globe and Mail, and on the front page is this story about Plantform and all the great things they're doing. And I thought, what a great idea it would be to introduce Plantform to our listeners a little bit and see where they're at and learn a little bit more about the company. And Don, I think you're there. If you
yes,
want to
certainly am.
Tell us a little bit about Plantform and what you guys are doing.
Yeah, great. It's really great to talk to you guys. Yeah, Plantform, we're very excited about the way the technology has developed in the last couple of years since we met with you. We've licensed technology from the University of Guelph and have a very good arrangement with the university there. They've have some great technology and they're providing us with great support. And what we're doing is we're focusing on producing monoclonal antibody drugs, which are type of drugs which are quite often now used in cancer and rheumatoid arthritis, and we're producing those in real tobacco. And the tobacco farmer, you'll know that tobacco grows well in southwest Ontario, and we can grow 5 to 6 crops a year using an indoor facility.
And so the reason why tobacco is used is because of the ability that it grows quickly and that sort of thing. Is that the main reason, or is it a good host for these types of things, or
it's a bit of both. It's a very good host, and tobacco grows with a large amount of biomass, lots of leaves on a small footprint. So our main focus is on low-cost production, so the greater quantity of plants we can get per square foot, the better for us. So that's one of the main things. Of course, the other part is a bit of an irony as well, that there's so much known about tobacco from the investment in R&D from tobacco companies that we understand a lot about the molecular biology and genetics of tobacco, and we can use that to our advantage to make therapeutic drugs.
Great. That's great. So now, but I mean, it wouldn't be grown like traditional tobacco. It'd be probably more grown inside greenhouses, would it not? Or would it be grown like traditional tobacco?
No, we're growing inside greenhouses, and there is we use the facilities at the University of Guelph for our early stage work, and then at the moment we're using a facility in Kentucky where there's a lot of expertise on growing tobacco, and we work with a contract manufacturer down there who have about a 4-acre facility that's completely contained in house, so you control all the materials going in. We have light control, we have water control, humidity control, and temperature control. So a little different from growing in the field, but the end result's the same, that we can grow the plants in 5 or 6 weeks to maturity.
Okay, excellent. So now one of the first drugs that you want to sort of bring to market here is Herceptin, which is a drug used in fighting breast cancer. And, you know, so what is the advantage of using your technology or Plantform technology compared to what's the established methods of making these drugs?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the established methods are using fermentation. It's called mammalian cell fermentation. And you have to have a very expensive facility, and each batch that you produce is very expensive also. So what we do is by using the lower cost production in tobacco, we actually, our manufacturing costs are about 10%. That's 1/10 of the traditional fermentation manufacturing costs. And that way we can produce a drug and introduce it into the market at a much lower price than the traditional manufacturing methods. And where we want to go with this is to make this is a life-saving medication and make it available to a much wider range of patients than it's currently affordable to. So we see a great opportunity to bring the drug into the market in Ontario and Canada and to save the Ontario and Canadian health care system millions and millions of dollars.
Excellent. I understand too, actually, Don, that the Herceptin is actually on a patent until 2015. Is that correct? Is that when you're aiming to come to market?
We're timing to come to market when the drug comes off patent. With the university, we've developed our own intellectual property round about our method of manufacture. And when the drug itself comes off patent, we can enter the market first in Europe and then Canada and the U.S. And we need about that amount of time to complete the clinical trial programs that are required to get approval. So, you know, it's going to be a good match of when the market is available to us and when our drug actually will be ready for the market.
Okay. Yeah, that sort of leads into my next question, Don, is what is the regulatory environment like for this type of product? And like, how far along are you along in getting the regulatory approval to bring this to market?
The regulatory environment has really taken a huge swing up in terms of understanding recently. Health Canada actually have regulations for these type of drugs, which are known as biosimilar drugs. Because we're making a generic version of a biological drug, it's called a biosimilar. In the U.S., the regulations were just issued by FDA for review by industry, and there's about 60 more days for comments from industry. And then the regulations will be established later this year. And actually in Europe, the regulations have been in place for quite a while. So the environment is good. There's a good understanding from Health Canada and the other regulatory agencies about what's required. And we look forward to advancing our product, you know, in compliance with the regulations. Now, where we are is we're actually at animal testing at the moment. It's something you're required to do with a new drug. Ours is a new drug because it's made in a new manufacturer system, and we've produced the material at the university, moved that to Kentucky to our contract manufacturer, and now we're actually checking that the drug itself works in the way that we expect in killing breast cancer cells in an animal study, and then we'll be moving forward into clinical trials in the next 18 months.
Okay, well, that sounds great. So what are some of the other hurdles that you're going to face getting this to this product to market? And I guess what I'm thinking of is there going to be some pushback because of this being a plant, you're growing it, of cross-contamination with other plants? Is that going to be a concern at all? Or because it's growing in greenhouses, because it's tobacco, there's not as much a concern? Or...
Yeah, that's an interesting area. In plants, there are a lot of drugs which have at some time in their life been produced and are marketed. You can think of drugs like Taxol and Vincristine. Taxol is made from yew hedges, and actually aspirin was originally made from willow trees. So the regulatory agencies have a good understanding of plants, but we're doing genetic engineering, which is new. And so we have to be careful that we do this appropriately, and that's one of the reasons that we use tobacco, because tobacco is not part of the food chain. And so if there were any concerns about a plant or a seed escaping into environment, it doesn't enter the food chain, and that's important that we maintain safety and quality not only of our product but also of the environment. So I think that is a concern. It's something that we're aware of. Contract manufacturers are aware of this, and considerable care is taken in these production processes.
Okay, great. Now, I also was sort of, when I was visiting your website, it sounds like it's not only just for, Herceptin, certainly the first drug, but you're also going to be doing some work with HIV types of drugs as well, or doing some research in that area?
Yes, we're very excited. In December, we were given an award of funding through the NASA Research Council, a program there. And the funds actually originate from the Gates Foundation and from the Canadian government. And so we're developing other similar types of drugs, some monoclonal antibodies, but directed at HIV/AIDS. And so we have a program where we're going to be evaluating how some of these drugs are able to be manufactured using our system. So as a company, we have a focus on the biosimilar or the generic drugs, but we're also looking at innovative new drugs as well, which have a longer time and longer cost to market, but will address unmet medical need in other areas.
Oh, great.
Fantastic.
Don, I was going to ask you, what's your sales target for this? You know, I guess once this patent comes off in 2015, you're looking to approach the market at that point in time. Do you have a rough idea of what your sales target is, revenue targets? And
yeah,
also,
I mean,
Just to round out that question, perhaps number of new jobs here locally, I think I've read there's going to be perhaps manufacturing facility or something.
sure, yeah. I mean, we see there's a huge revenue potential here. We see in the 2016-2017 period, the company could be making in the order of $150 million a year in revenue derived from sales. And we're looking at the possibility of building a manufacturing facility in Ontario. And, you know, that could employ between 50 and 75 people in a 3 to 4 year period from now. So we're excited both about the potential for the company in creating value for our investors and also creating new jobs in the Ontario economy and Southwest Ontario.
Oh, that's great.
Speaking of investors, you are a private company. I assume, you know, raising funds has been a challenge in this environment. You know, what kind of things are you doing for looking for money and that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's a challenging environment, and so we've been creative. We have a very committed and strong group of angel investors, and we have about 45 investors who are your typical angels, people interested in the company or its technology, and the founders, and they've invested in the order of $1.5 million, and the government has actually invested about $1.5 million in funding and grants. So we're looking to raise a $10 million Series A round at the moment to move our Herceptin product into the clinical trials. And we've been seeking money outside of Canada, but also in Canada. There's an upsurge of interest in Canada at the moment. I've just been out at the biopartnering meeting in Vancouver. And there's a lot of excitement about the improved economy, and I think a loosening up on the investor side on that front. And we've been focusing on high net worth individuals as investors from the United States, and also particularly in the United Arab Emirates and in Saudi Arabia, actually, where we've got a lot of interest in our technology, just as a pure investment, a good return on investment for an investor.
Okay,
focus rather on high net worth individuals rather than on the traditional venture capital funds at the moment.
Okay, that sounds great, Don. Well, we're going to be running into break, and so I would like to thank you for coming. And if someone who's more interested in learning a little bit more about Plantform, I know they have a great website at www.plantformcorp.com. And thanks for being our guest today, Don.
Thank you so much, guys.